The following is a presentation from the pulpit of Lancaster Baptist Church. For more audio and video content from our ministry, please visit lancasterbaptist.org.
Our preacher tonight is Brother John Anderson. Brother Anderson came here for a master's degree, I guess 10 or 12 years ago, and it was a blessing at that time to have him here as a student and then later as an intern, a staff member on our staff for a brief period of time. And Brother Anderson, at that time, was a blessing as a pastor's son to see him passionately pursuing not just his parents' calling for his life, but God's calling for his life, and was a blessing to me and to our children, to our family. And one of the reasons I have Brother Anderson here this year is because while we're so thankful for men like Brother Sisk and Brother Halsey, who are a faithful example, I also am thankful that there are some young men coming into the ranks of our Baptist missions movement. And I'm thankful for Brother Anderson and the faith that he had several years ago to surrender to go to the city of London, England. As he told us in the missionary interviews last night, a city that is very multicultural, lots of Muslim population, I think around 10 million people, and a city that has a lot of buildings with two or three people in church, a lot of church buildings, but not so many growing churches. And God, through a miraculous series of events, has given to them a building about 10 minutes away from the River Thames and some of the famous sites such as Westminster Abbey and so forth. And there is a soul-winning church being established, and Brother Anderson's doing a great job. I want Sandy to come and sing for us. And after she sings, I want you to open your heart and open your Bible. Brother John, welcome back home. Make yourself at home and come and challenge us tonight from the Word of God about worldwide missions.
Well, it's a joy to be here with you this evening at Lancaster Baptist Church. I know I'm in the United States tonight. We should say Lancaster here. In London, we say Lancaster. But I am thrilled to be here with you tonight. Thank you so very much for the privilege to be a part of this conference. We've certainly been blessed by the ministry here at Lancaster Baptist Church. We thank God for the ministry here. We thank God for Pastor Chapel and his friendship, and just the blessing that you've been to us through the years, Pastor. We appreciate you so very much, and we appreciate the influence that this church has had all around the world, not just in the United States, but around the world. Many of our new converts in London, the first thing they do when they get saved is they start a small booklet that many of you have probably started called First Steps for New Believers. And so when we talk about Lancaster Baptist Church, I think we have a few of our people in London who stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning to listen to the service tonight. We want to say hello to them and appreciate so very much what God's done here, what God's doing there, and what God's doing all around the world for the cause of Jesus Christ and for the cause of missions. I'm very, very grateful to be here tonight with you. I'd invite you to turn in your Bibles tonight to the first book of the New Testament, the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 14 this evening. Matthew chapter number 14. I'd invite you to look there this evening. And I also ask you tonight that if you have your faith promise commitment card or your stewardship commitment card, that maybe you would mark your place in your Bible right there at Matthew chapter number 14. We'll be back there in just a moment. But I'd like you to look right there in Matthew 14. And once you're there, if you wouldn't mind standing for just one moment as we read the Word of God together, Matthew's Gospel chapter number 14. And we'll begin reading a very familiar story in the Word of God. Begin reading in verse number 13. And as we read this story tonight, may we look at this in context of missions. And may we look at this in light of what God has for us this evening. Matthew chapter number 14 and verse number 13, the Bible says, "When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.' But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.' And they say unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes.' He said, 'Bring them hither to me, And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. I'd like to call your attention tonight to verse number 14. We find the word multitude. Verse number 15, we find the word multitude. And in verse number 19, 2 times, we find the same word, multitude. And tonight, for just a few moments, I'd like to preach on this subject. The multitude requires multiplication. The multitude requires multiplication. Father, I pray for the next few moments that you would help me to say exactly what you once said in a way that will bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus. Father, we realize tonight that it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And if anything will be accomplished that is worth an eternal value, your Spirit must move tonight. And Father, we ask you tonight that as hearers of the Word and as a preacher of the Word tonight, that right now in our hearts, right now at this very moment, we would say yes to you. Whatever you speak to us about tonight, Father, the answer is already yes in our hearts. Please have your perfect will and way in this meeting tonight. For your sake and your sake alone, we pray these things. Amen. Thank you so very much for standing tonight. Matthew chapter 14, the text we just read, records for us the only miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ performed that's recorded in all 4 gospel records. We come to this story and we commonly refer to this as the feeding of the 5,000. It's more accurately to be said the feeding of the 5,000 men, according to our text. The Bible tells us at the end in verse number 21. We come to our text and the setting of our story takes place when the disciples of John the Baptist come to the Lord Jesus Christ because John the Baptist has just been killed by Herod. They come to Jesus and they give him the news that his cousin has died, his cousin has been murdered, his life has been taken. And the Bible tells us that in the context of this story and the news that's just been given to the Lord Jesus, in verse number 13, the Bible says, when Jesus heard of it, when he heard that John had died, the Scripture tells us that he departs into a desert place. Now, the Bible is not clear exactly as to why the Lord Jesus Christ departed into a desert place. But we must remember this, that although we emphasize that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, and we believe that tonight, that he is 100% God, we also believe that he was 100% man. We believe in the humanity of Jesus Christ, and just as he possessed all the divinity within him, he also possessed all humanity within him. And so within his humanity, when he receives the tragic news of a family member that has died, of course, there's a natural sorrow, there's a natural need to somewhat get away from the ministry, to take a moment away and to get into a place away from the multitudes, to get to a spot that possibly he can just get away for a moment. The Scripture tells us that his disciples are coming with him. And in Mark's corresponding text, when Mark tells us this story, the Bible tells us that the disciples had just gotten back from a missions trip. They had just returned from a missions trip and they were tired. In fact, the Scripture says in Mark chapter 6 and verse 31, and he, speaking of Jesus, said unto them, the disciples, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And so Jesus, in his humanity and deity, has just received the news that John the Baptist has died. The disciples have just returned from an exhausting missions trip, and they're ready for some R&R. They're ready for some time away just to spend with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure those of you busy in ministry today can identify with these disciples. They hadn't even had lunch yet. They were ready to just get away and to just take a break. The Bible tells us they get into this ship, they're going into a desert place, and as they're going to this desert place, word gets out, according to Luke's account of this story. Word gets out that Jesus and the disciples are going into this desert place, and the scripture tells us that the villages begin to empty out, and all the multitude begins to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and his exhausted disciples to this desert place, which is meant to be a place of refuge and is meant to be a place of rest. Now, this is the background and the setting of the story. There's an emotional crisis in the humanity of Christ. There's an energy crisis in the lives of these disciples. They're trying to get away, and the Bible tells us that this place of solitude has now become a place with a multitude of 5,000 men. That's quite a multitude. The scripture tells us that there's women and children also, and Eversham estimates that there well may have been at least 18 to 20,000 people here on this day. And so here is Jesus in this setting, and here is Jesus in this moment. He's in this desert place. He's surrounded by a multitude of men and women and now children. And the Bible tells us the compassion of Jesus Christ comes right out. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I read the gospel records and I try to read them often in my ministry so I can stay connected to the message of Christ. But I can tell you every time I read the gospel message, you cannot read the four gospel records without coming away with this conclusion: our Lord is a God of compassion. He sees this multitude. He sees this vast group of people. They've come out to hear him. They've come out to be under his ministry. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus sees this, even though he's received this devastating news of John the Baptist's death, although his disciples are weary and looking for some time away, Jesus stops and it prioritizes what is most important. And in Jesus Christ's economy, it has never changed, by the way. People are always important to Jesus. He has compassion upon them. I love verse 14. He went forth and he was moved with compassion. The Bible tells us that this compassion that moves the Lord Jesus Christ, it motivates him. It motivates him not to just heal their sick, not to just preach the word, not to just perform miracles. But I love this about our Savior. He wants to meet their very need. He sees that they've come from a long way and he wants to feed this vast multitude of people. Now we come to the disciples. We see the response of Christ. Christ has compassion. And you would automatically think that disciples are going to follow suit. They're going to have the same spirit that the Lord Jesus has. But we find that there's a completely different response from the disciples. We do not see a response of compassion. Rather, we see a calloused response from the disciples. The disciples, here is exactly what they said: send them away. Jesus said, bring them to me. The disciples said, send them away. Now, I don't want to get too hard on the disciples because I think I can identify with the disciples at some times in my own life. Send them away. Do you know tonight we live in a world of 7 billion plus people from all over this world? We've seen fantastic presentations of ministries, and I can't wait for the rest of the week to see more presentations and hear about what God's doing. My heart is so stirred before Uganda tonight. I don't know about you, but when I saw Uganda, I thought, I'm ready to go. Let's go. I'm so thankful I pastor in London because we have 5 people from Uganda in our church, Brother Stensis. And I'm so thankful that there's people in Uganda preaching the gospel. And I'm like that whenever I see missions presentations anywhere. But we live in this world of 7 billion plus people and the multitudes are great. But I want to tell you tonight, every one of us during these next 2 days of this missions conference are going to have one of two responses. We're going to respond with the compassion of Christ or the callousness of a disciple. One of the two. We come to this passage of Scripture tonight, and we're going to see something that's going to happen in this text that is absolutely amazing, because when Jesus gets in the middle of anything, miraculous things happen. And we're going to see tonight that in order for this multitude to be fed, in order for this need to be met, it is going to require multiplication. Can I tell you, if we're going to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, addition won't do it. Subtraction certainly will not do it. And I promise you, division is not going to get the job done. It's going to take multiplication. And anytime ministry is multiplied, you've got to get Jesus Christ right in the middle of it. Tonight, I want to look at the missing link in missions many times. Now, I'm for organization, I'm for planning, I'm for having maps, I'm for having charts, I'm for having plans, but I can assure you tonight, unless God gets in something, it's all in vain. And we're going to see in Matthew chapter 14 that Jesus steps in the midst of this situation. I'd like to give you three thoughts tonight just from our text tonight right here from Matthew chapter 14. I'd like you to notice, first of all, the problem addressed. The problem addressed. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. He never runs from the problem. He always addresses the problem. The scripture tells us that the disciples, whenever they see this need and they hear the compassion of Christ, they know what is in Jesus' mind to do to meet the needs of this multitude. Immediately, the disciples, all they see are obstacles. I love this. Jesus sees opportunities. They see obstacles. They see the problem. The Bible tells us that they see three very distinctive problems in our text. I want you to notice the first problem. Problem number one, they said, first of all, we have a late problem. We have a late problem. Notice what the scripture says. He says in verse number 15, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, notice this, and the time is now past. The time is now past. Can I just summarize what these disciples were really saying to God, by the way? Here's what they're saying to God. God, it's too late for you to work. It's too late for anything to happen here. It's evening. You know, I know that you created time on the third day and you operate outside of the sphere of time, but we just thought we'd let you know, Jesus, that it's really just too late for something miraculous to happen. I mean, after all, everyone knows that God only does miracles in the daytime, right? We don't see any miraculous things like at midnight happening all throughout the Bible. We don't see God opening prison doors at midnight. We don't see anything miraculous happening at midnight. God only works in the day. And the disciples said, now, Lord, it's too late in order for you to work. It's too late to reach this multitude. It's too late for anything to be done because why? Well, the time has passed. I think about this world that we live in and I hear Christian people, unfortunately, today saying the same things the disciples said. We don't live in a day where churches can really be planted in certain places anymore. And you know, God used to work and we used to have revival and we used to have soul-winning churches and we used to have Bible preaching line upon line and verse upon verse, but that won't work today because the time's just passed. Those things can't be accomplished. And you know, after all, the time is just gone. These things can't take place. I remember when we moved over to the United Kingdom, I remember meeting a British pastor our very first week. And as I sat down with him, I thought, man, I'm going to learn all I can from this gentleman. As we began to talk and as I began to pray with him, as I began to get counsel from him, I left more discouraged than ever before. I remember the man said this to me. He said, and I love him, he's a friend, but he said, the tide is out. God is not saving people in the United Kingdom these days. The tide is out. Immediately in my mind, I thought, let's pick up the boat and go out where the tide is. Amen. I mean, the time is gone. It's too late. This can't happen. I mean, we're going to hold on until the rapture. We're just waiting until the second coming because it is too late. I want you to notice there was a late problem, but I want you to notice there was a location problem. Notice what the Bible said. The scripture says in verse number 15, they came to him and they said, this is a desert place. Amen. This is a desert place. Nothing can happen in the desert. I mean, these multitudes, we can't meet this need. Listen, everyone knows. In fact, you read Luke's gospel. He says, are we just going to send them out to the surrounding villages and send 200 penny worth and let them buy victuals for themselves? Even 200 penny worth would not meet this need. Look at this multitude. And Lord, I mean, honestly, look around. We're in a desert. Everybody knows God doesn't work in the desert. Everybody knows that, you know, multitudes can't be fed in the desert. Everyone knows that God's limited by what He created. I mean, God is limited by this place. There's no Walmart here. There's no Costco. There's no Sainsbury's, as we would say in London. There's no place to meet this need. We're in the wrong location. Remind you that God spoke this world out of nothing in Genesis chapter 1. I remind you that God spoke to Moses in a desert place. I remind you that God called Abraham out of a populated place into a lonely place. And God is always delighted to work in places where we imagine that He cannot work. God can't work in certain mission fields. And man, you know, Europe, it's a completely most postmodern world. And you know, Europe, they had the gospel once. They don't deserve the gospel again, after all, because, you know, they had their chance. And listen, God can't really work in Europe because, listen, over there, people are just atheists over there. You go to the city of Prague, 99% of the Czech Republic is a atheistic nation. You go to Barcelona, it's a Catholic city. You go to all places all across the world. And man, God can't work there in that location. I'm excited because God worked in this desert place. God delights in working in places where we don't expect that He can. You know, God can't work in Lancaster, California, can He? Looking around us tonight, and we see that God does delight to work in places where we imagine He cannot work. The disciples saw a problem. They said, it's too late. They said, the location is all wrong. But let me get to where I really want to emphasize tonight. They said, here's the third problem, and here's the major problem. We have a limitation problem. They said, it's late, our location is wrong, but we are limited. What do you mean limited? Well, we have 5,000 men out here. Possibly 18,000 to 20,000 total. And all we have to feed this vast multitude, according to John's account of this in chapter 6, all we have here is a little lad that has 5 loaves and 2 fish, and we're going to feed this entire multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fish. I'm not the most intelligent guy in the world, but I can tell you that's a severe limitation problem. The need greatly outweighs the demand. They did not have the supply to meet this need. They had a limitation problem. And I love what the Bible tells us in this passage of Scripture. The Scripture tells us that it was a lad in John chapter 6. A lad was a word used in Scripture for a boy that was somewhere between the age of 8 and 12 years old. Here's this 8 to 12 year old boy. All they have to feed this vast multitude is just 5 loaves and 2 fish, they're severely limited, and the Bible says, and He gives us a very important detail, the Bible says that they had it in a basket. This food was in a basket according to John's account in chapter 6. Now there's 2 words for baskets used in the New Testament. We won't go into the whole study, but the first word for basket is used in our text, and that is literally like a lunch pail or a small lunch box. The second word for basket that is used in the New Testament is used in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 25 when the Apostle Paul was lowered over the wall in a basket. I mean, a serious basket. Well, we're not talking about a serious basket here. We're talking about a basket, a small basket. We're talking about 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, we're talking about 5 loaves. We're not talking about Italian loaves that, you know, like the walls of China or something long. I'm talking about pita bread, small loaves. We're not talking about the great fish that Jonah was swallowed by when we talk about these 2 fish. Remember, it's a lad carrying it in a small basket. We're talking about 2 sardines in this story. That's why I love this story even more. There's a real limitation problem. I love these disciples because I've got to be honest with you, I probably would identify very clearly with them. Jesus says, hey, guys, I've got a great idea. Here's what we're going to do in ministry today. We're going to feed all this multitude. What do we got to do it? Well, we got 5 pita breads and 2 sardines. Great. Ready to get started? I can hear Peter. Peter's raging at this time. Thomas is obviously doubting. James and John are asking if they can have the boys' lunch. I mean, we're in trouble here. By the way, aren't you glad in just a moment we're going to see that God doesn't just use great faith, God uses willing faith. These disciples are in trouble. They look around, they see, how are we going to meet this need? Can I just stop for a moment as we look at the world tonight? That's what we're really doing. We're looking around the world in this missions conference, and you may be asking the question, how are we going to do this? How are we as a church family going to reach so many people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Listen, it's late. Jesus is coming again. Our location, we're not in a central location. We're on the other side of the United States, on the West Coast. How are we going to reach everybody in this world? It's a long flight to Australia. Long flight to Europe. How are we going to get this done? We're limited. Even everyone in this church gave $1 million, we would still not scratch the surface of the needs of this world. Well, let's just pack it up and send them away, right? That's what the disciples said. If we can't do everything, let's do nothing. If we can't do everything within, notice this, our own strength, and if we can't explain it, then it must not be able to be done. Now I want you to notice this. There's the problem addressed. But I want you to notice the second statement. This is absolutely powerful when it comes to the study of missions. I want you to notice number 2, personal accountability. Jesus said to them in verse number 16, but Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Notice the statement, give ye them to eat. The disciples, now I love this. I love the humor of the Bible. The disciples said, Lord, now here's a 3-point outline. I wish they had just alliterated it, you know, gave a poem at the end. Here's why it can't happen. God, here's 3 reasons why this is not going to happen. And they're expecting Jesus to just agree with them. He gives them these 3 points. And Jesus just looks and says, oh, that's great. Go ahead and feed them. Did you not hear us, Lord? We just told you why this can't happen. And Jesus said, notice this, give ye them to eat. When it comes to meeting the needs of the multitude, God does not accept our excuses and our problems. God holds us accountable. This generation of saints will give an account for this generation of sinners. We will give an account. It's like the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse number 14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. I am a debtor. This is a responsibility. Do you know what Jesus wanted his disciples to feel? Jesus wanted his disciples to feel the weight of the multitude. He wanted them to feel the weight of the multitude on their shoulders. Do you know, I believe God in heaven wants us tonight to literally feel the weight of the world on our shoulders. He wants us to understand that we are accountable to get the gospel to every one of them. I believe he also wanted them to feel the inadequacy of self. How are we going to do this? How can this happen? This can't be done. I believe God wanted to bring them to that place. Because when we find that we're inadequate in what we can do, that is when our strength ends and God's strength begins. And we learn complete dependency upon God and complete dependency upon His power. And I can tell you, man's ability and man's plans can only take you so far. But when we run out and we come to a place where we only have God, that's when we see the power of God at work in our lives. The disciples came to the end of themselves and they said this. They said, we're limited. It's late. Our location is wrong. And Jesus said, I still hold you accountable. How is this going to work? We see the problem addressed and We see the personal accountability, but let me quickly get to this third thought tonight. I want us to see the power applied. The power of God is applied. The only way this need was going to be met was if God multiplied what they gave. That's the only way. Within themselves, if they took 5 loaves and 2 fish to the multitudes, they wouldn't have got past Thomas. They wouldn't have got very far. The only way this was going to work was if God got in this thing. I want us to see there was an offering of faith in verse number 18. The Bible says, he said, bring them hither to me. I love this. The disciples said, it can't happen. It's not going to happen. It's impossible for it to happen. There's obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. It's late. We're limited. Location's all wrong. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, okay, bring what you have and just bring it to me. Do you know the way we're going to reach the world with the gospel of Christ? I've got great news. It's really simple. Let's bring what we have and give it to Jesus. Now, I know that's not deep preaching, but it's just Bible. Just give what we can and give what we have and give to the Lord. Give to His purpose. Give to His cause. I love this. Not only is there an offering of faith, but there's organization by faith. Because He says in verse number 19, by the way, before He broke the bread, He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. Luke's gospel is so vivid. Luke calls it green grass. I like Luke's gospel. He commands the multitude to sit down on the grass, and He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Now I want you to notice this. He divides them. He organizes them before He even works. He organizes by faith. You know what I see here? I see an expectancy. There's an expectancy that God's going to do something. There's an expectancy that, man, Jesus is about to work. They're planning for it. It's not an accident. They don't say, wow, we're surprised. No, they're expecting this. Jesus says, now go ahead, sit them down in companies. I think it's interesting in John's gospel, he knew who to put with larger companies, who to put with smaller companies. We're not responsible for the results in the harvest. We're just to be faithful in the harvest, and God rewards and God gives us the task where He wants us. He sends these disciples, and I want to see this real quickly. There's an offering of faith, and there's an organization by faith, but I want you to notice there's an order of faith. There's an order of faith, and here it is. The Scripture says, He blessed and brake, verse 19, and gave the loaves, this is so important, to His disciples. And the disciples to the multitude. You believe Jesus Christ is God tonight? I certainly do. I believe if Jesus wanted to put the bread and the fish right in front of me, He could have done it. Very easily. But I want you to notice the order of how God always works in the Bible. It's consistent from A to Z throughout the Scripture. God takes, God blesses, and God gives to the disciples. And the order of faith is as God gives to the disciples are to give to the multitude. That's how God's plan works. He gives to the disciples, and they give to the multitude. He did not give to the disciples and say, eat up, boys, it's yours. Notice, He was not giving necessarily just to them. He was giving through them. He gave to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Now I want you to imagine for just a moment. What if these disciples said, you know, that's enough. I've got enough from Jesus. I'm going to go feed the whole multitude. As their first basket load runs out, guess what? They're in trouble. You know what they had to do? They had to keep coming back to Jesus and keep going back to the multitude. Back and forth, back and forth. We said in Luke's gospel it was green grass. You know what happens when you walk on grass enough? There's a path that begins to form. A path begins to form in this grass. And I imagine that there were paths all the way from the Savior to the multitude. From the Savior to the multitude. And the disciples were completely dependent upon the Savior to give to them so that they could give to the multitude. There was a dependency upon Christ. But the moment they stopped coming to Christ was the moment they would run out. They had to stay dependent upon Him. And I imagine there was a well-worn path from Christ to the multitudes as they were dependent upon Christ to add His blessing and to feed this multitude. How are we going to reach the multitudes tonight? How are we going to get the gospel to places that have never heard? It is not going to be by our own ambitious plans. We must be completely dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We must get by faith, and we must give by faith. We must distribute by faith. We must take for what we get from Christ, and we must go to the multitudes, and we must stay focused on our task. Our task is not to take the bread and hoard it for ourselves. Our task is to feed the multitudes. Our task is to give what God has given so that they may be fed, so that the need may be met. Do you know what God's plan is today? It's simply this. The gospel of Jesus Christ comes from the cross, through the church, and to the world. From the cross, through the church, and to the world. Do you know what's happening today, unfortunately? It's stopping with the church. It's stopping with the church. The message of Jesus Christ has come from the cross. But the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, some have not the gospel of Christ. I speak this to your shame. What happened? The gospel stopped with the church, but the plan of God has never been for the church to hoard the good news of Christ. The plan of God has always been for the church of Jesus Christ to distribute the good news of Jesus to the multitudes from the cross, through the church, into the world. That's the plan of God. Notice in verse number 20 and 21, they did all eat. And I like this, and we're filled. God doesn't just meet the need. He meets abundantly, exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask and think. They were all filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained, and I love this, that remained 12 baskets. There's been a lot of debate about those 12 baskets. There's no Bible answer for what happened with those fragments that were left over. I kind of like to think that there was one for each of those doubting disciples. Kind of like, and by the way, this word for basket, you guessed it. This is the word that is used in Acts chapter 9, verse 25. This is not lunch pails left over. This is a whole lot left over. God's able, isn't he, tonight? God's able to do more than you can, I can imagine. One of my favorite songs my dad taught to me when I was a kid, little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it. If you go in Jesus' name tonight, as you fill out these faith promise cards over this week, you may think, I can't reach the multitudes with this. I can't do much with this. What is this amongst so many? What is this small commitment to reach over 7 billion people? But my friend, when God gets in this, it's amazing what God can do with a little bit. My wife and I are so thankful and so privileged to serve the Lord in the area of missions, and God's been good. We live very close to the mainland of Europe, and I close with this, but a few years back, we celebrated our 9th wedding anniversary, and Sarah and I had the privilege to go to the island of Malta. While we were there on the island of Malta, we were touring and seeing some things for just a couple of days, and while we were there at the island of Malta, we saw this church, and there's an English words over this church. It said the Miracle Church. I thought, well, sounds pretty good. I'll just check it out. Why not? And we walked inside this Miracle Church. And there on the wall, just over on the placard on the right, there was a huge bomb, like a bomb that falls out of the sky. I thought, wow, that's a pretty interesting thing to have at church. I looked at it, and I started reading the inscription. And, of course, it was in Maltese. I couldn't read it. And then I began to do some research. I began to study it. And a guy came and brought me some literature, and I began to read it, and I found out that the only place that was bombed more in the Second World War than London was the island of Malta. Malta was bombed continuously because of its strategic location for refueling, and also for many of the soldiers that were wounded in Europe were placed right there in Malta, and so the Germans bombed Malta relentlessly. Many people would go to services and many people would go to church at midnight or early in the morning to avoid the bomb raids. And such was the story where a group of people were meeting in this church and a bomb hit their cathedral and it dropped straight through the ceiling and it landed right on the floor of the church and it was spinning at the back. And they thought, as soon as this thing stopped spinning, we're gone. It stopped spinning and everyone was holding one another, waiting in anticipation for this blast, and nothing happened. They waited a few moments, and as soon as they could, they ran out of the church. And when somebody finally was brave enough to go in and see what happened, which would not have been me, by the way, they went in to see what happened, and they found that instead of the explosive materials inside the bomb, there was only sand inside of this bomb. Just sand. They dug through, and they found a note that was written in German. It was written from a Christian in Germany, who just simply put, "I can't do a lot, but I hope this helps. I can't do everything, but I'll do what I can." You know, there were 500 people in that cathedral that day that were just real thankful that somebody did what they could. Do you know there's a world out here that's dying and going to a devil's hell, and they need people just like you, they need people just like me to just do what we can. And when we put what we have in the hand of God, little is much when God is in it. The multitudes require multiplication. Father, I pray that you'll take the word of God and do the work which only you can do for your honor and glory alone, in Christ's name.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If this message has helped you, we hope you will share with a friend or family member. We always love to hear from those whom God has changed through his word. Share your story with us at lancasterbaptist.org/contact.